Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint, powered by Manx Telecom.
Pastor Mai, good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Monday, 29th of June, 2020 from Manx Radio. A 30-minute look at the latest news on the Isle of Man, background to the news, sport, business, Sea-Watch, travel updates, and the newsmakers in person. Tonight, day 40 of no new confirmed cases of C-19. We're no longer under the Emergency Powers Act, but two key workers have been in court for breaking the rules. The Manx Labour Party has a new leader. We've got the latest in the education department versus the unions. Alessandro's restaurant in Douglas burnt, but on the way back. And when will competitive football restart on the Isle of Man?
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes to 6, the update news headlines. Faster Mai, Ed Oldham.
Faster Mai, the Isle of Man has reached 40 consecutive days of no new coronavirus cases. There have been 6,386 tests undertaken. 16 people are waiting for results. Two reckless hospital workers who broke the Isle of Man's COVID-19 laws by visiting pubs have been spared jail. Stuart Hislop and Stuart Strike stopped to watch football at two pubs en route to buying a meal after arriving from England on the 24th of June. A music festival in the north of the island is to take place on Tynwald Day. Ramsey Rocks is an annual community event set up in Market Square in the town, organised by the commissioners. Further afield, lockdown restrictions could be extended for another 2 weeks in Leicester following a rise in cases of COVID-19. The city's mayor says he needs to be convinced that's necessary. Britain's health secretary is expected to make an announcement on the matter later this evening. Mark Drakeford's announced two homes will be allowed to pair up in Wales and form one extended household from Monday. The First Minister says all houses will be included, regardless of how many people live there. The World Health Organization is going to meet this week to assess the global response to the COVID-19 pandemic. More than 500,000 people have died with the illness across the world. And in sport, Ben Stokes will captain England's Test cricket team against the West Indies next week. Meanwhile, it's been announced the county cricket season will start on the 1st of August. Those are the headlines. News in full at 6.
Man Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Gorobai, Ed, thank you. Ed, from the Ronalds Way Met Office, RSC weather indicates the gales will dissipate and just become strong winds over the next 12 hours. Occasional showers on the island coming in on a fresh west-southwesterly. The overnight low temperature 12 Celsius. Jemeirah, Tuesday, cloudy and showery. Daytime maximum 14 degrees, much the same overnight into Wednesday, 11 Celsius, the overnight minimum. Jacrain, cloudy and dull with sporadic light rain on a light breeze through the day. Then a dry evening and top temperature 16 degrees. High water, 7:02 tonight. Sunset is 5:10. Low water, 1:23. Sunrise, 5:11, and high water tomorrow, 22 minutes to wait. A week today, it's Tynwald Day, by the way.
The team at Manx Glass and Glazing are available for email inquiries. Contact them on inquiries@manxglass.com.
The Isle of Man has now reached 40 consecutive days coronavirus-free. No new cases. It comes as breaches of exemption rules by key workers are now being reported. Two key workers were in court over the weekend for breaking the rules, and a party from Jersey are under police investigation. Alex Watton from Manx Radio News asked the Chief Minister whether there have been any further rule breakers we don't know about yet, and how many have been reported so far.
The two people that broke the rules, they were given a £1,000 fine and a 4-week suspended sentence. And I hope that sends out a message to anyone that they should not be breaking the quarantine. If we've brought people over here as key workers, I think they were medical workers, then they should respect our rules and regulations. And it's a small island. If you break it, you're going to get caught and action will be taken. There's no exceptions.
Well, with those two people, they're back in the UK now, I believe. Have you had that robust track and trace process with those people as well?
Yes, I believe they had been tested to make sure that they didn't have the illness and they're no longer on the island. It was disappointing that they did that. You would have thought people of their profession would have followed the rules. They didn't. They were caught and they were prosecuted with a fine and a suspended sentence.
in the NSC at the moment, there's quite a lot of PPE being stored. Can you tell us how much is there? Not only what kind of PPE, but how much it's worth in monetary terms? And where's it going to go when all the facilities at the NSC are due to open at the end of July?
We have several millions of pounds worth of stores there, which will last us right the way, hopefully, through this difficult period we're going through. Those are simple things like gloves and masks of varying degrees, but also gowns and face visors as well. Obviously, as we open up the NSC, we're going to need it to find a better secure area for those. And work is currently underway with the Department of Health and Social Care and the Department of Infrastructure to move those out so that they can be distributed when they're needed.
And I'm glad it's been stored down at the NSC. Hopefully the fact that there's a few million pounds worth of equipment there, Alex, won't have some scally going down there to take it. But it's well secured, and it's there to protect our staff and all the people of the Isle of Man that need it.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
24 minutes to 6. If you're driving and your route home takes you across the mountain, do be aware the Matrix signs are showing fog on the mountain tonight. The Manx Labour Party has a new leader. Joni Farragher was elected into the role at the weekend following Tynwald veteran David Cretney's retirement from Manx politics earlier this year. Dolan Mercer spoke to Joni Farragher and asked if the result came as a surprise or if she'd been confident.
There's always a bit of both in there, I think. Obviously, the person I was up against, Peter Washington, was a very strong candidate. I sincerely had faith in him as well, and you know, will obviously continue to work positively alongside Peter. So, yeah, there was definitely a bit of both in there. Whilst I felt that I was confident in my own ability to lead the Labour Party, I also felt that I was very confident in Peter as well.
How did the voting go?
There was quite a few advance votes, because obviously it was such an important issue, and there was 25 people, I believe, at the actual AGM. So I think that the ratio was something along the lines of 14 to 20. So it was quite a close one in the end.
To borrow your words, if I may, quite big shoes to fill from the leadership of the Manx Labour Party. It's been David Cretney for decades. His involvement with the party, I think he said, has been around 40 years. So very much a career servant of the party. Does that impact how you approach the role?
Well, it does, in the way that my respect for Dave will mean that I'll be very happy to take input from him and to receive his wisdom, I suppose. But of course, there's also, as you said, big shoes to fill. David is going to be a tough act to follow. He's been probably the most popular politician of recent times, and yeah, he's a big act to follow. So I guess in a way there is that pressure element, but I don't think that I think the way that we have to see it is that an end is also a beginning, and now we're looking at different issues, you know, new times. We're really hoping to engage younger progressive voters as well, so times are moving forward and the issues that we're facing are changing as well.
David Cretney represented Douglas South for nearly 25 years in Keys, but there's been a Democratic deficit in Douglas South with just one MHK, Kate Costain, representing this two-seat constituency since the sad passing of Bill Mullarkey in February. A by-election to fill the vacancy was due to take place in March, but like local authority elections, delayed due to the lockdown. Douglas Central MHK, Chris Thomas, told Ewan Gorn it's high time the contest took place.
It's a real shame, and that shame needs to be rectified as soon as possible. Obviously, there was a reason for it, which is that candidates couldn't go around knocking on doors during the pandemic.
Fair reason?
That's fair reason. Now we need to have the by-election. I'm hoping it can be September, October. From memory, the continuation regulations, which will come out of the ending of the emergency, will allow the writ to be issued up to the 25th of August. So I hope that the Crown Elections team will give us notice about when that will be, as soon as possible. I even thought about putting down a question for the last Tynwald to make that clear, but I'm sure there'll be a press release now we've had this interview.
Couldn't this issue have been solved by having some sort of electronic voting system in place?
The elections bill that I've steered through the House of Keys, and I hear it's coming, well, it's definitely coming back on Tuesday now with a few good amendments, allows for that possibility in the future. But even in the most advanced places that use electronic voting, like like Estonia, only about a third of people take up the option of electronic voting, and that would be the case in the island.
Not many people take up the option of regular voting on the Isle of Man, though.
That's true. So we need to do everything we can. So what the elections bill, which I hope will now become law, will do, will it will allow for the possibility for us to change technology without changing the legislation, except through the regulation. So it'll just be one sitting of Tim Wood job. Many countries have rolled back from any sort of electronic thing. So in the Republic of Ireland, in Belgium, they've gone backwards because there are issues around electronic voting.
It's open to hacking and that sort of thing, or manipulation.
Yeah. And just the expense of keeping the system fair and keeping audit trails. But most importantly, Ewan, the issue was, and it wasn't the election process, that wasn't the issue. The issue was about going around door to door. And in the island, people expect their candidates to go around door to door knocking on them. That's a sort of a part of the cultural, political culture of the island, and that can't be done electronically.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
19 minutes to 6, Manannan didn't sail this morning because of the weather. Subsequently, of course, didn't come back. So the next sailing, tomorrow morning's 10 o'clock, Manannan Douglas to Heysham. The fast craft continues to operate daytime sailings to Heysham. The motor ship Ben McCree is currently providing our overnight freight service. Tomorrow, remember, there'll be blowing the sirens as the steam packet is 190 years old.
Follow the steam packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
A review into the Education Department's dealings with island schools has been welcomed by a teaching union. The NASUWT has more than 600 members out of the 847 teachers on the island. The union's local negotiating secretary, Geraldine O'Neill, spoke to Alex Watton from Manx Radio News. She said the coronavirus has given us an opportunity to evaluate the way we work.
On the review side of things, you know, any organisation needs to actually review its current practices and provisions. And you know, in reviewing, really, you need to be able to look at constructive criticism and accept that there are things you may do rightly, you may do well, or you may not do so well. But actually, an investigation into how you can do things better and work together should be what any review or any organisation should be looking for.
Do you think that should be happening now for everyone coming out of the coronavirus crisis, then, that this is an opportunity?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, we had the first industrial relations forum meeting last week. And in fact, that is what the task we've set for the second meeting for all of the unions is, to look at what were successes and what were failures, and look at it in that whole, you know, not in a blame culture, but in a way of how we could do things better and how actually the Isle of Man government can interact with the workforce better as well. That's why we have this re-emergence of the Industrial Relations Forum. So I think it's really, really important to have a healthy look at what we can improve. And it does provide us with huge opportunities for better working together and communications, which would be a massive resource in the future on an island the size of ours. We can make things happen if we work together.
Manx Radio's Business Briefing, brought to you by KPMG.
Facebook's in trouble with its advertisers. More than 160 companies have signed a campaign to stop buying Facebook ads for July, even though the social media giant says it'll crack down on hate speech in its ads. It's a reversal of Facebook's previous and controversial decision to avoid policing ads. The announcement comes less than an hour after Unilever said it was pulling the plug on Facebook and Twitter for the rest of the year. Starbucks isn't joining the official boycott, but it says it's pausing ads on all social media platforms. Coca-Cola's pausing all paid-for ads on social media globally for 30 days. Altrincham-based car dealership Lookers in the UK has agreed to correct its accounts after auditors found it overstated profitability by £19 million over several years. Grant Thornton's been investigating potential fraud at the firm, finding fraudulent expense claims and financial controls requiring strengthening. Lookers recently announced cuts of 1,500 showroom jobs and closure of, or merging of, 12 of its site. In a statement to the London Stock Exchange, Lookers said £15 million of the required adjustments relate to incorrect or inconsistent application of policies, processes and accounting standards.
KPMG, here for your business through these unprecedented times. Contact IOM at kpmg.co.in. The Stock Market Report. brought to you by Ramsay Crookall.
UK and European markets closed higher as investors digested the rising coronavirus death toll. The US dollar fell versus peers as US stocks opened higher. In corporate news, BP has agreed to sell its petrochemicals business to chemicals company INEOS for $5 billion. The restaurant group's creditors have voted in favour of a company voluntary arrangement, closing 125 eateries and allowing the company to seek cheaper rents for other sites in its Frankie and Benny's chain. The numbers at 5 o'clock in London, the FTSE 100 was up 1% at 6,225. The DAX in Frankfurt closed just over 1% up at 12,232. In New York City, the Dow Jones Industrial at 5 o'clock was up 1.75% at 25,457. The tech stocks index, the NASDAQ, was up just over 0.5% at 9,824. The S&P 500 in Chicago up 1% at 3,041. On the exchange markets, the British pound sterling worth $1 22.7 cents and €1 9.1 cents. And in commodities, finally, gold flat at $1,769 an ounce. A barrel of Brent crude up just over 1.5% at $41.35.
With uncertainty impacting global stock markets, you might think it's not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer great opportunities to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment with Ramsay Crookall, your investment specialists. Call 717171 or visit ramsaycrookall.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority. Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, investing in our people and technology.
Emergency services attended Alessandro's restaurant on Castle Street, Douglas, last Monday evening. Despite a quick response, there was extensive damage throughout. The family-run Alessandro's has been there 17 years now, and a week on from the incident, Dolla Mercer asked Aris de Sulas where they're up to now.
Well, we're just waiting now from the insurance assessors, the adjuster. He's been very, very nice guy. He's seen what happened, waiting for the reports from the fire brigade, which is straightforward, I think, as I was told. I just need to start cleaning. Insurance is going to send hazmat people because it's like quite toxic what's left here. We're not allowed to clean it. And then we'll start redecorating and see how far it goes.
People who are familiar with the layout of the restaurant will know that there's a big open plan front room and then a more closed off back room. It looks like the whole back room's been affected by the fire.
The whole back room needs, like, top to bottom, everything out, thrown away, completely redone. The front is only smoke damage, but it's quite bad smoke damage, so to get rid of the smell and all that and the toxic, you know, leftovers and soot that's here, it needs to be first cleaned by professionals and then redecorated as well.
You obviously had quite a long closure due to the COVID-19 pandemic before this. You did reopen, you said to me, just for a brief while before this happened.
Yes, we opened for a week and it was very encouraging. You know, people did really come out to help and support us. And it looked promising for the rest of the weeks and the summer with the people supporting us, like every other company, I suppose, every other local restaurant and business.
Yeah.
And this happened. You can't account for that.
Several weeks for COVID-19 and then you're looking at a few more weeks now. It's a big time out of your year, isn't it?
At least another month, if no more, to sort everything out. Nothing really we can do.
What's the outlook? Are you still hopeful you're going to be able to keep going once this is all sorted?
Yeah. We'll be back stronger. There's no doubt about that. Quite determined we are, I suppose, and it's not in my nature to give up anyway. So, yeah, it's a bit upsetting. You know, we'll see how it goes.
Manx Radio Sport.
11 minutes to 6. Fastamai, Ed Oldham.
Fastamai. Despite Jerby offering relatively inclement weather for the practice day held there yesterday, it was a resounding success, according to organiser, the Isle of Man Schoolboy Motocross Club. There was a busy paddock featuring riders old and new, all of whom enjoyed the day. Other highlights included a sighting of David Knight out testing his rally bike for the Abu Dhabi Desert Challenge, whenever that may be able to take place, and a first sighting of young Pocket Rocket
Kirkmichael's very own Jude Collister, who's just 6 years old. Organisers are also thanking the marshals and medical cover who kept the riders safe, and Meximan for introducing burritos to the paddock. Next up will be double-headed race days on the 19th and 20th of July. More information will be released via the club's Facebook page soon. Further afield, Mercedes Formula One cars will be painted black for the upcoming 2020 season in support of the Black Lives Matter campaign. The world champions are making the change from their historic silver as part of a pledge to improve diversity in the team. World champion Lewis Hamilton is the sport's only black driver and has been vocal in his support of the movement. West Indies cricket players will wear the Black Lives Matter logo on their shirts during next month's Test series with England. They've been given permission by Watford striker Troy Deeney, whose partner Alicia Hosanna came up with the design, which includes a clenched fist of solidarity within a circle. There's one match in the Premier League tonight. Crystal Palace take on Burnley at Selhurst Park, and the League Two playoff final takes place behind closed doors at Wembley this evening. Exeter face Northampton for a place in the third tier of English football.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions.
Two departures from Ronald's Way, the 4:30 to London City left 7 minutes late, and the 4:40 to Liverpool didn't leave till 6 minutes past five. Inbound tonight, the Liverpool coming back at 20 to 7, London City due in at 8 o'clock. Fog on the mountain, if you're driving, please take care, get your lights on. Ballacrane traffic lights. Well, you don't need fog lights there, but you do need a very patient nature. Four-way temporary signals in place of existing lights. The cable installation, Rensel Hill, Captain's Hill and Lurgy Groin, Langsea, closed one at a time on a rotational basis for sewer repair works. Do take care there. Also in Ramsey, North Shore Road and Old River Road. North Shore Road is closed from Bowring Road to Shipyard Road. No parking on Old River Road till resurfacing work on North Shore Road has finished. Lock, Harris Central and Queen's Promenades in Douglas all one-way northbound, plus associated waiting and turning restrictions. Everything at mypromise.im, and you can catch all the travel news relevant to the Isle of Man at manxradio.com, powered by Millie Chaps of Ramsey.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by
Auto Solutions, 670-145.
Students who are due to sit exams this summer need clarity. The message from Ramsey MHK Laurie Hooper will be asking the Education Minister for an update in tomorrow's sitting of the House of Keys.
Partly it's exactly that. It's the students that are going away that are actually going to have some, maybe a final chance to sit an exam, or if they're going to be taking exams for the first time, it's going to have a significant impact on their future. The grades that you get at GCSE and A-level are really important. And so it's making sure that there's a consistent provision across the island, because feedback I'm getting from parents is that actually the schools are all treating people slightly differently. So some schools are holding exams and others aren't intending to, and I'm not entirely sure what the situation is. And so, because I think there needs to be some clarity on this so everyone can be 100% sure, no, this is the plan, this is what's happening. We've heard statements from the Minister in the past about making sure that everyone has the right opportunity and the same opportunities to progress. I'm sure that's exactly what he's going to say on Tuesday. He's going to be very clear about what provision there is, what's happening with exams over the summer and in the first part of the next term, and actually we can get some clarity out there for people so they can start planning and start relying on this information so they can plan for the future.
How big an impact does that lack of clarity at the moment have, not just on their future career prospects, but also mentally as well?
The people that have talked to me about it, it's raising quite a lot of concern amongst them, because they're very worried, obviously, about their own situation, about sort of their own finances, their own circumstances, and then having to worry as well about then all the impact and the knock-on effect of this on your children, on their education, and then the worry for students and pupils themselves, I think it is starting to build up, and I think we need to sort of float that off at the knee and say, you know, we've got your back on this. We're with you. We're trying to make sure that the best thing is happening and everyone's got the right opportunity, so this crisis is going to impact you as little as it can possibly impact you. And that's really the kind of reassurance that I'm seeking from the Minister, is just to get that clarity from the department is really all over this as an issue.
Thank you. Well, lockdown's lifted, social distancing no more, and sport's been returning in the Isle of Man over the last couple of weeks. For football, though, things are still a little uncertain at the moment, with training permitted, but not matches. Manx Radio's football correspondent, Isle of Man FA President Tony Meppam, explains more to Paul Moran.
At the moment, Paul, we can't play any competitive football.
Right.
On the island, because the English FA won't allow us.
Right.
So we've sent a file off to them explaining that the Isle of Man aren't under the restrictions that the English football fraternity are, and to see if they'll allow us to play. We're under their flag, so until we get that information in, we can't play any friendlies and we can't play any league games. But what we've got planned is the English FA have said that they would support us in fulfilling a couple of or two or three game or competitions we had at semi-final stages. The FA Cup was to the fore, and the Woods Cup as well. But now with Paul Rose explaining that they want to play in Division 2, we need to get teams up. So I think we're going to have to look at a playoff, which we're working on at the moment. We've consulted with all the clubs that would be involved in the playoff. Six of the eight have come back and said thumbs up. Yeah, we're ready. We're just waiting to hear from the other two so we know what we want to do. And then we'll go back to all the clubs and let them make a vote on it.
Happy days. So, worst case scenario, it's August. A couple of tricks up the sleeve, maybe bringing it back a bit earlier?
Yeah, I don't mind giving the dates out, Paul. But as I say, don't take them as gospel, because at the moment we can't play any football.
Yeah.
So it's all sort of guessing game. But the 31st of July is a Friday night. We'd have the four playoffs. The 1st of August, we'd have the two semi-finals of the FA Cup. Then the following Friday, which is the 7th of August, we'd have the two, if you like, semi-finals of the playoff. And the winners of them would be the promoted sides. There'd be no final. And on the 8th, which is a week, the Saturday before the start of the proposed season, we'd have the final of the FA Cup. So that's what we're working on at the moment. But it's all sort of waiting for the English FA to come back for us. And they're asking for so much information, it's making it very difficult.
That's it for Update, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Ed Oldham, producer Ewan Gorn. Next, it's Agenda with Ewan Gorn. After that, welcome back, Chris Kinley. Greatest Hits is on till 9. The Brass Band Show, Time for Brass, with Ian Cotter at 9, and George Ferguson with The Late Show. For details of all the stories you've heard this evening and more Manx news, go to manxradio.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to the Manx Radio YouTube channel. Remember, updates available as a podcast via Apple, Google, Smart Speaker, and Spotify. Get the details at manxradio.com, and I'll catch you Tuesday evening at 5:30. WINT.